Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Brihadaranyaka Upanishads, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Swami Jyotir Mayananji in Miami, Florida. Swamiji continues with a lecture series on the Upanishads, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, class number 38. And now Pujyatman Sri Swami Jyotir Mayananji.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in chapter 1, section 5, and mantra number 17, which I am reiterating because of its importance. It is called Sampratti. When a householder, that is the general teaching given to humanity, household life is the predominating aspect of all human beings. But what should be the ideal of household life? The ideal should be you are becoming involved in attaining enlightenment. If you attain full enlightenment, bravo. One way or the other, the impact upon your children, the goal, and you, whatever you have attained, is not going to be lost, will continue. Any good you have done, that good will become better in your next life, little more better than that. Let me take a joke, but the idea is, your goal is to be progressive, real progressive, not the technical type progressive. So while you are progressive in your life, your children should have the same impact. The light that inspires you to be progressive. Plant that light in the heart of children. Put it in words. Athata samprati yada praishyan manyate atha putramaha tvam brahma tvam yajna tvam loka iti स्वपुत्रः पत्याः अहम् ब्रह्म अहम् यज्ञः अहम् लोकः इति तस्मात् पुत्रमनुशिष्टम् लोक्यमाहुः. Now therefore the transmission, the Sanskrit big word, but all that it means in the Hindi language, giving jimmedari, giving responsibility. I am going, now be responsible for these things. When a man thinks that he is going to depart, he says to his son, you are Brahman, you are Yajna, you are Loka. And the son repeats back because he must prove that he has heard it. There was no signing in those days. The son replies, I am Brahman. I am the sacrifice. That's Yajna. And I am the world. These three responsibilities. And what do they, in practical terms, what do they imply? I am Brahman means, Sanskrit word, adhyayan. Go on studying. Life should be a constant exploration into the mystery of, the deeper mystery of life. Exploration into who am I. Whole life should be opening pages and pages and reading about yourself. And since it is you yourself, it's never going to be boring. In more precise terms, dedicate your life to study of the Vedas, reflecting upon the teachings, and profound meditation leading to realization. I am not the body, not the mind. I am Brahman, the Absolute. That is the greatest inheritance you can give. Inspire. All children are souls. They are rays of God. Inspire them to be what they are, rooted in God. And in order to attain that, inspire them to develop immense taste for turning the mind to the revelations given by sages, reminding that you are not only my, not only owning my responsibility or my inheritance, but you are inheriting sages and saints. They are all your father. Next point, you are yajna. The term yajna, practical way, it means live to practice upasana. As you think, so you become. Learn the art of directing your thoughts in a profound way. Godward thinking. If you look at the world, aren't you dazzled by the immense glory of God that is expressing through all things of this world? The immense intelligence, grace, beauty. Then allow that mind to adore that God and bring that adoration in your life. The more purified you are, the more you sacrifice your anger in the fire of love and smell the fragrance of forgiveness. And that's given with poetic language. The more you involve yourself with yajna, sacrificing the crude aspect of your personality and sublimating it, knowing that your possibilities are endless. It is in your hands. You are not looking at people, am I born to have this? Do the astrologers say I'm going to attain? Nothing of that. You are a ray of God. And therefore, become involved in upasana. In practice, it turns into two aspects. Devotional movement of the mind and practice of meditation. Simple term is used, devout meditation. Sanskrit word upasana. And it is that which becomes a dynamic process of sacrifice, sacrificing all that is crude within you and sublimating it into graceful, into something sublime, which has become symbolic in a very crude way for the masses. Sacrifice the goats, sacrifice the sheep, sacrifice the lambs. People understand it because their tongue becomes involved. But that's a very crude way of bringing spirituality to the masses. But sometimes we have to stoop down to the lowest level when you want to lift people who are very crude. Otherwise they will be killing each other. So that's yajna. And lastly, loka. Loka implies to focus your mind on your actions. The activities, the works that you do through your thought, word and speech. Not a single day should pass without your having done something concrete, something creative. And the test of any meaningful activity is, has it touched someone's heart? Has it helped people? Is it going to help people? Simple word, paropakar, doing good to others. Another word, charity, daan. Am I practicing charity. Say, I don't have money enough, how can I practice? Well, your friend is sad, make him glad. That's charity. Mother is in distress, make her free of that stress, do something. And allow your heart to expand further. All human beings are like your mother, like your brother, like your sister. And therefore, wherever you are placed, God has always placed you somewhere, but wherever you are placed, you can always do something good. If nothing is possible to do, sit back. Repeat your mantra and say, Sarvesha Svastir Bhavatu. If you understand charity in a profound way, you can do endless charity. Because your heart is not limited. This is the Akshaya Patra Patra of Yudhishthira. That comes in the Mahabharata. He received a vessel. You can go on drawing from it. It never gets exhausted. Until Draupadi stops it. Draupadi is Vivek Buddhi. But that I'm not leading you there. Adhyayan, Seva and Daan. Write them now down in these 2-3 fingers. These are 3 rings. They should ring the bell. Next, we come to chapter 1, section 5, mantra 21, called Pranavritti. Athato Vratamimansa. This is about Vrata. What type of vrata you should practice or observe? Vrata term extends into festivities, fasts, various performances that purify the heart. In day-to-day language in India, you always hear about vrata. Somebody is doing a vrata. Tomorrow is going to be a sacred day. So practice this Ekadashi vrata. Fast on that day. And then there is profounder form of vrata. Having understood the purpose of life, you create internal resolve that I'm not going to be an angry person, I'm going to be to pursue Buddha. I'm going to become compassionate. I'm going to become transformed. And proof that all the biological studies are wrong. The son of an angry man cannot be always angry. Your parents may be limited. But you have unlimited resources. And that vrata has to develop in your soul. I am Brahman, the absolute. I must realize Brahman. That's called Brahmacharya. General mass level of meaning. Remaining unmarried, celibate, practicing purity in a practical level. But that's just a means to an end. The profounder vrata is your mind flowing to Brahman, stripped of degrading desires. So that's about vrata. Now let me read this to you. This is Vrata Vimansa. Prajapatir ha karmani sritasrije tani srishtani anyonyena aspardhanta and so forth. Let me give you just the meaning. Now then, considerations about vrata. The creator gave rise to indriyas. Indriyas are the senses. They began to compete with each other. See, whenever there is vrata, then there are, say, 12, 15 people around you, and you give them a speech on the importance of vrata. Each one starts, I am going to do it that much. Another says, I will do it for 3 continuous days. Another says, I will do it for a whole week. So likewise, the various parts of your personality the senses, the mind, the intellect, but just focus on the senses. They began to compete with themselves. The speech said, I will go on speaking. The eye said, I will go on seeing. The ear said, I will go on listening. Likewise, other indriyas made their resolves. The hand said, I will go on touching. Nose said, I will go on smelling. But what happened? Death in the form of weariness laid hold of them. Simple way to understand this point. Whenever you read the scriptures, you hear about demons suddenly developing into their head that they have to practice austerity to gain power. Now, what they do? This. Come into one particular pose. Sit or stand under a tree. And they have made a pledge. Until they have received the boon, they are not going to starve. In the storyline, they succeed. And then the impact comes to the masses. And that's the way austerity should be. When you practice, it can't be even for a single day. Because your body will get tired. No matter how much you may have started with a tremendous enthusiasm. I will not stir until I attain liberation. But you are going to stir within a few hours. Even the mosquitoes will convince you to do that. So that's the predicament. Austerity is good. And the speech said, since good speaking is good, I'll go on speaking. And I said, since seeing good things and to have a divine visualization is wonderful, I'll go on without winking. Constant. The ear said, I will go on listening. Listening has such advantage. If your vrata is like this, it is shallow. Because your eyes are limited. Your ears are limited. Who has limited them? Death. All things in the world are going through the process of change, destruction. You don't have the same type of eyes when you are young. You need bigger and bigger specs. I'm using this layman's word. So what vrata should you take that can remain continuous? If your vrata depends upon your eyes, it will not be continuous. If it relates to your ears, it will not be continuous. Speech or any other sense, it will be interrupted. What is there within you that is never interrupted? Life. Let the vrata enter your life stream. Death in the form of weariness laid hold of them. Having taken possession of them, death held them back from work. Therefore, speech becomes tired, eyes become tired, ears become tired, but it is the prana that death could not control. Therefore, one must resolve to do one vrata, a vrata that emanates from your life. And its description is breathing in and breathing out with a perennial, ceaseless wish. Let not the death, evil of death, overpower me. In other words, I am Amrita, immortal, deathless. More extended form, all these are subtler revelations of the Vedas. And when the rishis further extended them, in pranayama it's called ajapa ajapa. In pranayama language, develop the idea of practicing soham. That am I. Your vrata is to let your whole life flow for that objective, realizing I am Satchidananda. How can that become so deep within yourself if it emanates from deeper and deeper level? We talk about life of life. Life of life. Pranas of pranas. First point, pranas are the dearest aspect of your personality. If pranas depart, your body is useless. And your pranas never stop. If something that is coming from the prana level, any type of resolve, that resolve is going to be perpetual. How can pranic resolve develop? To give you, make that simple understanding. When you become involved in any project with the objective of purity of heart, with the objective of coming closer to God, various limitations that affect your body, mind, senses, those limitations, you begin to transcend them. Put it in a more practical level. See in daily life, a mother prior to her child's birth goes on practicing, reading about it. How will I wake up in the morning to feed the child? And what should I do? Prepare myself ready, understand? Should I have all the calories to prepare for all the... But when the actual involvement comes and the love for child develops, the child becomes the life of life. Once it has reached into that level, as if it is very, your very life, then you don't care whether you have a certain limitation in your body and want to sleep or what, or you have not eaten, all these points you don't hear, don't think. You rush out of all limitations and go after what you love. All this has a practical meaning, but I'm using it as allegorical way. Likewise, in spite of all limitations of your body, of your circumstances, challenges in life, deep down has opened a will, may I attain liberation. And that will is as natural as your breathing in and breathing out. You do not work with your mind. How many times have we breathed already? How many more times will I be breathing more? Am I enjoying the breathing? With that simplicity, and a spontaneity, a divine urge develops, may I attain liberation. If he has not, don't become upset. Try. The moment what you are doing becomes lovable to your heart, then it becomes spontaneous. Once it has become spontaneous, that you have adopted now, pranavritti, a vow that has become glued to your prana, vital force. The expression again is allegorical. It is glued to prana of prana, the cosmic source of all life, God. This pranic system in your body is God's one little ray. And once you have gone deep, developing love for prana, that prana now leads you to the prana of prana, the absolute self. Now figure out this great ideal. Breathing in and breathing out. Negation of death. Death doesn't exist. I'm neither mind nor body, immortal self am I. I am not a cell phone. I am the eternal, using the phone. I am not this body-mind complex. And that should come deep with your, in your heart. that ideal has to be worked with. If you do the integral yoga, enjoy satsanga, repeat mantras, and follow all those points I have been discussing, then gradually an internal process starts, and that your mind doesn't have to be aware of. It goes on working, and you become aware in a profound way. Great changes come in your life. Miracles begin to operate. Things that you consider impossible become possible. And so many things. Having taken the vrata, lead it to its completion. Completion is you attain prana of prana, the soul of souls, unity with Brahman. The scripture says this vrata leads you to sayujya or salokya state. This is an allegorical expression. Think of in an allegorical way. Think of going to God is like going to a king who has a wonderful capital city. Many people have that idea. That's where God is. So think of going to God's city. So there are four stages that become possible if you go to God's city. You go to God's city and remain completely away from His palace. But you can see the palace from this. You know you are in His city. That's called salokya. You live in the world of God. Next, work hard to find a structure close to God's palace. Then this is called samipya. You are coming nearer God. If you advance further, called sadrishya, you will look like God. You are not God. But they'll see you and you have also four arms. And you have a yellow crown. And all the structure, all the feature of gods begin to reveal through you. Now don't take it literally, all this is allegorical. Which means you develop so many divine qualities. You are compassionate, full of love, with infinite patience. When all these qualities begin to develop, there is no difference between God and you. Sadrishya. Until sarupya. Sarupya no sayujya. So far I'm describing sarupya. Rupya means all sarupya, sadrishya, they are synonyms. The last one is sayujya. You become blended with God. You are not living in the country of God, the capital city of God. You are not living in the close palace near God. You are not becoming like God's look-alike. But you are become one with God. Liberation has these stages. People take it very literally, but they have nothing to do with the literal implications. The movement towards God is a progressive move. If your mind stays sattvic for a while, but doesn't stay continuous, you are living close to God's city, but you are not in it yet. So that way you can figure out what we mean by coming closer and closer until you become blended with God. God is the reality within you. The question of blending doesn't arise. When a reflected sun takes up the vrata, may I be united with the sun. So many stages will occur. And those can be described in like a story, like allegorical descriptions. But the final stage is the water dries up, or doesn't have to dry. The soul realizes, I am the sun. Absolutely no coming together, no meeting, not becoming like the sun. You are the sun. From the beginning to end, you are never separated. That's called liberation. Liberation is not an attainment. It's a revelation. Truth is not constructed. It is ever-present reality. And that's the highest vrata.